The scene is Auckland's arrivals hall. Natalia is newly arrived from Siberia. "Are you here for business or pleasure?" asks the customs officer. "Business," Natalia replies. "I'm getting married." With that interaction, the tone is set for Lauren Taylor's directorial debut, The Moon is Upside Down. Lauren wrote, directed and stars in the film, along with a stellar cast. That includes Elizabeth Hawthorne, also a guest with us this morning, Victoria Hurlbadou, Robin Malcolm, Rachel Howth, Robbie Magaseva, and Jermaine Clement.
Just
got a few of your mates together.
Yep.
Three women's stories briefly intersect, that of the duped mail order bride, the slightly numbed anaesthetist having a fling with her sister's older boyfriend, and the wife who discovers the new block of flats her husband purchased contains a dead tenant. To explain more, Lauren is with us along with Elizabeth. Great pleasure to have you both here. Good morning.
Thank you for having us, Catherine.
Indeed.
Premiere last night, so that's why you're in town here.
Yes. I actually live here. I live here, but yes, Elizabeth's with us.
Yes.
Lovely to have you here, Elizabeth,
Thank
as
you.
Well. Lauren, let's begin with the usual and predictable. I just said to you before we came on air, I can't describe it. I loved it, but I can't describe it. So where did the idea come for this film that I can't describe?
Well, I'd always loved multi-narrative films. There was a film called Before the Rain, a Macedonian film, many, many, many years ago, that was in multi-narrative, so there's many plots. And there was something about the scale of that film and the way that you kind of enter into different worlds and the way they intersect pleased me. So I thought, okay, I can do that. And then I have a bit of industrial agriculture, the breakdown of the health system, femininity, loneliness, disconnection.
I had a few themes, just
one or two that I thought I might explore, and I thought that might be the way to do it.
And she certainly did. And the challenge of the multi-plot is how you bring them together without it being contrived. Was that instinctive, or was it chiselling away at a word processor over quite a period of time?
There was a bit of that. There was a bit of plank, plank, plank on a keyboard. Lots of wandering around. But the characters, I think maybe because I started off as an actor, I'm in the bodies of the character while I'm writing, and then they kind of, it sounds cheesy, but it's sort of true. They revealed to me what they wanted to do and how they possibly could meet.
The three stories of the women, and our protagonists are women, but there's very important male characters, one in particular there, from my viewing of the film. What do you consider as the thing that links our women protagonists at least, if not everybody, in this film?
Vulnerability, fallibility, loneliness. I think those things probably. Yeah.
What they have in some ways is the vulnerability, as you say, not a sense of haplessness, but you don't get the sense of there being victims and offenders. Everybody in some way is carrying their own pain, their own disillusionment.
Yes, yes. I'd read a beautiful thing that desperation is the origin of comedy, and that really sort of sung to me, and I feel like... I wanted to be exploring people's pain because I think it can be very funny, and it's also, you know, that's life, isn't it? So felt like a good place to
navigate. Tell us your character first, Lauren Breyer.
Yep, she was an anaesthetist. I'd sort of been through the hospital system and was, you know, interested in the world of all of that, and maybe possibly slightly cheesy having an anaesthetist who's a bit numb. Thought that could be possibly maybe a good gag. Don't know if it worked, but there's her. What else shall I say about her? Anything else?
Let's meet Faith.
Yes, please.
Let's meet Faith, Elizabeth.
Faith is a very interesting woman. I asked Lauren to send me some notes at one stage when I had to talk about the film. And one of the things that Lauren said about Faith, that she said, I feel like I know a lot of Faiths, privileged but alienated and lonely, living their lives at a distance. And that was my spear, I suppose. That's how I still see her. Like in the beginning, she's just observing life. She's just looking at it. She's not actually in it. She's not really present. And she goes about, and there's a lot in the script that in the script, the depth of the script, which isn't necessarily in the film, but it fed me, I know, you know, gave me all this information. And so, you know, her upbringing, she does the thing that we all go, one, two, three, four, you know, the marriage to the Juju, and he's the real estate developer out there, and there's some sort of vaguely, not estranged, but not associated daughter there. And she herself, Faith, is sort of dissociated from life. So she's just sort of observing it all. But then she's not told, ordered, but she seems to be the handmaiden of the husband, and she goes to look at these flats in Berhampore, which is, she stumbles, I think, into this rich community of life, of these people who have refugees and displaced and marginalized and without all her privilege, but it's being thrown into this fascination of living life, and it's led by a dead woman, Rita, who she has, Faith has to discover. So it's through this dead person that really brings Faith into being in life. Which
this is the brilliance of the writing, because
it is,
because you literally, Faith literally goes on a journey with
with Rita
with Rita
trying to find a place. It's marvellous.
I'm so glad you said that. I don't know whether it's a stage of life necessarily where one questions everything you think you know about life's meaning.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, an unexamined life isn't, what is it? An unexamined life is not worth living. Someone's, and of course, in your early life, you haven't got a clue. Well, I'm speaking for myself. Not a clue. No one gave me the manual. I'm still furious about that. When am I going to get the manual, how to do it? And so you go through life and then things happen and it's this jumble. You're like in a tumbling dryer. And then comes some sort of settling or quiet or void and you think, what?
Another wonderful part played here, and I mentioned at the start, another of our characters is Natalia, who arrives here, beautifully played by Victoria Haralabadu. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yes.
She brings a fragility to it, but she brings a depth of layers, and those layers gradually revealed.
She's extraordinary. She's a Russian actress that's, I think, Russian-Greek. She started in Russia and ended up in Greece and then moved to Australia. So she was close by, which meant we could drag her over, and she quarantined to be with us. So she arrived from quarantine to on set. And she does. She has a kind of a animal, she's so charismatic.
And that's important, because let's talk a little bit more about some of the settings here. There's these big, wide open scenes that literally background the characters' journeys. I think it's Central North Island. It looks like Desert Road to me, is it?
I'm so pleased you said that. No, it's Wainuiomata.
That is fantastic.
We couldn't afford to go out of here we are.
How fantastic. I thought you were up on the plateau somewhere.
Isn't it astounding?
No, amazing what you can find.
That land, that area. It's astonishing.
It was reminiscent of, you know, if this was set in America, we'd be out in a desert somewhere on a long journey on Route 66 or somewhere. Mm-hmm. So big, wide open scenes that literally background these individual and then overlapping journeys. And the sex is interesting.
Yes.
more for the lack of interest.
Yes.
Again, I don't want to give too much away, but... but it's very human, the disappointment thereof.
The awkwardness.
The awkwardness. And the need, and then the politeness of it all. And this is what I want to come back to earlier about there not being goodies and baddies here, because obviously Natalia's wedding contract is not quite as she thought it was going to be, but the vulnerability of everyone involved there, beautifully played by Jermaine, and then Robin Malcolm, as she always is, playing a quite staunch protective sister. As we said, everybody is in that state of what the hell.
Yeah.
You side with them? You don't pity them. I didn't find myself pitying
them. Oh, no. Good.
You're just fascinated. Mm. You're interested. How are they going to negotiate this? Mm. And, you know, Robin and Rachel's
Rachel.
Yeah, so you know, good. Their relationship.
Yes.
Everything is so alive. You know, everything
is... She's on the phone going, Tara's on the phone.
Yes, yes. The dynamism in every situation, every relationship.
Yeah. How did you write, because that backdrop, and there's that sense of small town, stopovers on any kind of journey, how did you write that as a character? Was that present as a character very early on?
I think it was, yeah. I kind of, when I'm writing, I'm picturing, it's sort of, I can see it, and I was seeing the desert road, so great that you saw that, even though it wasn't. But, yeah, I think... The intimacy and the smallness of a human. I think I'm interested in scale, and I feel like I felt like, I don't know what I felt like.
The vastness also, and the concept of journey. It's a sort of a literal metaphor, one is on, is on a journey. Mm. Elizabeth, you gave us a little insight as to how you will tackle a character like this. Did you feel like you knew Faith immediately, or did she have to go a few rounds with her?
No, I really did feel for her and her situation, and there was quite a large degree of association with some of the situations that she was in, and I really felt right from the audition that Lauren took me for, I did feel this woman. Yes, I did.
And the interactions that I had also, say with Faith and, oh, I don't want to give things away, Faith and another character here, literally people speaking in parallel and yet sharing so much.
Oh, my gosh, you know? I know, yes.
It's in the trailer, so I don't reckon that's giving it away too much. They do meet, yes,
yeah.
And it's a long conversation.
Yes, they're in that parallel. Yeah. So, you know, that's how our connection comes, that I pick her up. Because I'm taking Rita, hopefully, somewhere. that's how I come to Natalia, because she's made the decision that all is not well with her situation at that time, and so I'm this woman who has already, if you're going to talk about degrees of change, I've started. I'm not the woman who goes to Berhampur in the first place. I am now somewhere else. I've been with these people, and there is it's like curiosity. She's awakening, observing, and here's this woman gets in the car with her, and you know, what she reveals about her life is
it's the thing
deep.
About journeys. You sit next to someone on a plane, and two things happen on a plane. You clap your headphones on and say, do not speak to me under any circumstances. Or you have some of the most intimate and profound conversations you'll have in your life.
Absolutely.
With someone you know you'll never see again.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
And you reveal to someone like me on the bus, mine, I've been in a bad way, you know, I'll tell them something about that I wouldn't even tell someone I'm close to.
Yeah,
because there's a safety in the stranger.
There is, because then I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to revisit it. I haven't put the burden on, you know, if it was a member of my family that I'd be telling, I haven't put the burden of my feelings on them. I've kept with this poor person on the bus. But that is a wonderful writing, don't you think?
It is.
The writing of that.
It's just a truth, isn't it? It's just a great truth.
Well, it's why we don't want autonomous vehicles either.
I agree.
You say this, you know, with, you know, when you want to have a difficult conversation. With a family member, do it in the car, because the profundity of looking eye to eye,
it's too hard
and sometimes it makes one think, I've got to mask this side by side.
It's fine, and you're driving, so it's the best time, you know, especially, you know, with family members, or because that's when you can really talk, because you're not in that still confronting sort of way.
And very useful for a movie, because you've got two characters in one shot, and when you don't have much time, it's
on a stretch of Wainuimata.
Oh my god.
Exactly.
Such a beautiful, I'm so glad, it's a beautiful, beautiful part of this region.
Astounding
how you made it look like the central plateau.
And the elemental quality of that area, you know, how wild it ravages, like this, you can't hold on to any nice cities there. It's gone. Forget it. So I think that also allows for a truth to come out.
Our guests are Elizabeth Hawthorne and Lauren Taylor. We're talking about Lauren's debut as a director here. Directing, writing and acting, I mean, we know how talented our industry is on this front, in a bit like many professions, you've got to be able to do it all in a way. But doing it all for the first time, and particularly the directing, what were some of the challenges, and what were some of the moments where you thought, actually, I have got this, and actually, I'm on my own upward journey at the moment?
I think I felt a kind of great ease and confidence, in part because I was working with people I knew and loved very well and with an amazing team of people. So, and I think having been on set for so much of my life, it's where I'm most at home. It's something I kind of understand. So I think, the process of filming was just a joy, hard because it was very fast, but it was a bit of a joy. Challenges were probably just to do with the lack of time and lack of resources to be able to perfect something, but that gives it a kind of rawness.
Something
perhaps.
Perfect about
exactly.
These people. Why would you?
Yeah.
And how fast are we talking, by the way?
Well, it was 22 days, and with 3 days of pickups and $1.5 million. So I mean, it's pretty low. It's low budget. We didn't have time to. I talked to this wonderful head of the jury of a film of the festival that we won a prize at. He was the producer of Roma, and not a low budget film. And he said that he's like, I think there's something there can be in a kind of an energy and an aliveness and a vitality to a low budget thing, just because it hasn't.
It's got to be done
exactly.
You don't have 25 takes and polishing
doesn't
and post editing going on.
Exactly,
for
it's just go
bring your best game.
And when you're working with virtuosos, like, uh-huh. I mean, I really was working with the best actors that we've got. I mean, also, that was a bit relaxing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I know that I can give them this and they can do it. And
Those broader themes that I'm sure each of you have passions about, it is also a delicacy to for the audience to recognise them without being preached at, right?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And without it being front and centre. The story comes first. And is that something you particularly admire about the script?
Well, I do, you know, the cows, things like that, yes. Coming in, the cows, and that she ends in the raw forest, you know, and there's the male and female and status and social status and communities and health system and all those things are in there, but they're not down your throat.
Yeah. But we did a bit of cutting out. We cut out some of the down the throat stuff.
Yeah.
I did do a bit of down the throat, but we snipped it out.
Yeah. Show me, don't tell me.
Yeah.
And another real, Jermaine's quite a good actor. but again, his character, it's that understatedness that is the Kiwi way often as well.
Oh,
you know, you
yes.
learn so much about where he's at in just a line or two and a look.
Yeah, and just the way he is. It's almost anguishing to watch him. Do you know it? Well, that's my response. You just feel, I feel his trapped. I feel this film is about capture and escape. In all its forms, how things are captured, you're held. In it might be your environment, your upbringing, or your situation.
Your past,
yes. Mm. But then there is escape. Mm. There is through these mystical sort of meetings and intersections, there is escape. And
you're left with real hope for these characters, you really are. Let's talk a little more about where things are at, actually, with the profession. This is a deeply worrying year for many content makers up and down the country. And yet here, Elizabeth, you are at the moment on screen on three separate things at the moment.
Yeah.
Just remind me, there's the wonderful TV series Seven Kaikoura.
Friends Like Her and The Cleaner. Canterbury.
Yes. Oh. Paul Cleve's latest.
Yes.
Latest, can you believe it?
Yes.
But you were explaining earlier, and I mean that's a wonderful rich oeuvre just to be
very
screen at the moment. You're explaining earlier that this happened then and this happened then.
Yes, that's right.
Just explain a little more.
The Moon is Upside Down was filmed in 2021 during the COVID crisis. Mm-hmm. And so it's come full term now to the premiere last night. So what was that, three years afterwards? And it happened in the premiere happened in the film where Lauren used to Usher?
In the theatre, yes, it was. I used to work at I quit school in seventh form to go and work at become an actor and worked at the Penthouse Cinema with the Cinema Cat. Mm. Yeah, and we premiered there last night.
So I thought that was a wonderful circular
thing.
Mm. What else am I talking about?
The Cleaner.
The Cleaner. Oh, yes,
well,
the Cleaner.
Last year?
That was, I think, I'm lost. I think it might have been 2022.
Mm-hmm.
2022. And the Friends Like Who was last year, 2023, and Kaikoura. And so, you know, it's just the event, the way they all just come together. It's, I don't think there's any planning in it. It's just how it happened.
I'm just thinking of Robin's recent brilliant project that was on TVNZ as well.
After the party.
Oh,
you know, the quality
unbelievable
is there.
Yeah.
But there feels like there's a fragility. And I don't want to, you know, your industry, it's a never ending story, but it feels like there's a fragility at the moment in terms of who's going to pay and who's going to do and where it's going to be seen.
Yes.
How are you reflecting on that? As creatives, you just need to get on with it and believe.
A bit of that. With lots of kind of conversations of what can we do? Mm. I mean, we're already doing it. I mean, we're making work for, you know, a quarter of the, I mean, you know, those are big American shows. They have so much money for their writers' rooms and their productions. So we're already doing a lot with very little, actually. So it does feel like, heck, how are we going to survive this? Because I feel like we are really hitting our straps in lots of ways. So it's like,
that's
come
evident.
On!
That's evident, right?
Yeah. Just now's not a time not to not to keep giving money for art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all areas as well. It's all the production behind the camera.
Yeah, the developmental.
That we need to keep in work. Right?
Yeah, yes, we do.
And surely, isn't the product, isn't the proof, isn't the product proof of what everybody makes and produces? Is that not enough to put your money into, to bank on, to invest in?
Mm. Let's talk a little about each of your careers. And Elizabeth, I don't have 4 hours to go over the theatre, television and film credits that you have, but it's extraordinary how involved you've been with so many of our most memorable productions. And you know, is it literally a life in theatre and a life in drama?
Well, I trained as a primary school teacher in the very beginning of the 70s. I went into theatre for 18 years. They all fell to bits. And then I was, you know, in sort of probably in having a breakdown probably. I didn't know what I was going to do, so I went back to teaching, where I still teach at UniTech, 0.5. I'm very fortunate to work there with the students. It's a wonderful experience. So that a half a week every week. And I am very fortunate and privileged to be asked to work with all these creative marvels that we have in New Zealand. Yeah.
What will draw you to a project now at this stage of your career?
It's always the script.
Mm-hmm.
It's the script. I remember Philippa Campbell saying that about something or other. It's the script, and the script.
Yeah. And for you, Lauren, and Usher, what a brilliant way to get a free education in some ways and earn a dollar and also just immerse yourself in an industry. But for you, again, is this utterly vocation? Was this always, I'm going to write and I'm going to act and I'm going to do?
Yes, it really was, yeah. I think I was raised on really good films and thanks to my parents, and I think I just always felt like, yeah, that's the way to tell a story. And I think I've been really lucky too. I think I've done acting, I've done coaching, I've done casting, and been on set just for, you know, thousands of hours since I was 18.
How special to do this one though, where you do the directing as well, which has its own a very particular skill set, and particularly when you're acting as well, and particularly when you're under that time pressure as well. You know, how special an achievement is this in the work you've done?
I do feel really happy about it. I really do. I was very, you know, very nervous when you make something and you wait for it to be born and you see if it can walk and you know what. But it feels like it's I'm having the kind of conversations I'd hoped to have about it. It's making people laugh and making some people cry.
Funny.
So that's good.
It is funny.
Yeah, I've cast funny people.
And you know, you might want to comment on this as well, Elizabeth. I mean, it's hard to write humour that's genuinely funny that isn't.
Absolutely, and it has to come from the inside of the person who's being it. That's where
this
it
is
comes
you
from.
Occupying your characters, right?
Trying
to understand them, but to understand their humour is something else.
Like, really, if it's Germaine's character, you probably should be crying for, but you know, you can't help it. It's hysterical, in parts, you know, and angst making, and curious. Inviting, so it's so complex.
It's also casting clowns, though, like, you know, like clowns in the true sense, people who are funny because they are deeply sensitive and able to kind of sit in pain, I think. And all of, I feel like the whole cast, we specifically looked for that.
What an interesting observation that the two really sit very close to each other.
Very close, yeah.
I loved it. I still can't really explain it, but I loved it. What an amazing achievement in such a short space of time.
Thank you.
Where can people see it?
Oh, all over the place. 61 cinemas all over the all over the Motu. And also, if you can go on the first week, that would be really great because that means we stay in cinemas. So please support Kiwi Film. Please, before we die out.
That's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen.
We won't let that happen.
Lauren Taylor and Elizabeth Hawthorne, thank you for coming in.